This is the Turf Zone Podcast, your central information and news hub, bringing together professionals from turf associations across multiple states to share things to help you and your business. Brought to you in partnership with our friends at the Arkansas Turfgrass Association. Now, let's get in the zone.
Welcome to the Turf Zone. Today, we're speaking with Neil Glatt, Managing Partner at Grow the Bench and Business Coach certified by the Gallup Organization. Welcome, Neil.
Hey, thanks for having me, Julie.
Well, I'm going to start out, Neil, with a little explanation about what we said in your intro. You are a business coach with the certified by the Gallup Organization. Can you tell me a little bit about what that means?
Yeah, so I get to help businesses improve, usually around sales and management, which is really my passion, is helping teams perform really well. And the Gallup Organization is the world's largest polling organization, independent polling organization. So especially with election season right now, people are probably used to hearing according to a Gallup poll. That's where most people know Gallup from, is they call people up, they ask them what they think, and they do it all around the world more than anybody else does. And they don't take any money from anybody and just spend millions and millions of dollars on payroll to survey people. But what they've developed through these world-class surveys is a lot of great information about what people really want and how it relates to business. And so when it comes to high-performing teams, Gallup has essentially invented the category of what we call employee engagement. And for the past 35 years, has been publishing information about what makes a highly engaged team, what even is a highly engaged team, and most importantly for us today, how can we take something really simple at very little cost and put it into action to get more from our teams and make everybody feel better?
Very good. So you mentioned high-performing teams, and that's really what we're going to focus on today and really fine-tune that for the green industry. Can you tell me how you got into sharing this type of information and this type of business coaching specifically in our industry?
Yeah. So it actually happened kind of the other way around for me. I graduated college with a degree in marketing, wanted to go into sales, and started working for a landscaper. And so I was working in this industry before I knew any of this great business stuff. And I had all the same challenges that other green industry companies have. Too hard to attract people, too hard to keep people, nobody really as invested as I wanted them to be, and just trying to make it. And through that process of being frustrated and failing at management, I started to learn the hard way about some things that may work. I was fortunate to work with or have employed some other really great managers. And I'd see, you know, glimpses of greatness from people like, oh, this person's really great at building these personal relationships and people seem to like that. Or this person's really great at developing people. And that, you know, meanwhile, their team is doing better with all the hard metrics. And so systematically, I kind of studied that and discovered some of the science. And then a few years ago, decided to go out on my own as a business coach and earn some certifications along the way that support that. So I have the opportunity, being self-employed, to work with any industry, but I just have a heart for the green industry because it served me really well. I think what we do is so important and so overlooked. And I get pretty excited about bringing this cutting-edge science to the green industry in a meaningful and practical way, because I think that the green industry needs some love and gets overlooked by a lot of people.
Absolutely agree. In these podcasts and in speaking with turfgrass professionals and nursery and landscape professionals across the region, very, very few do not point to labor and building great teams as one of the biggest challenges they face, from education all the way to hands-on, you know, lawn and landscape, smaller companies. Everybody is trying to create workplaces that foster good teams and that are productive and effective. So I'm really excited to talk to you about this today.
Yeah.
Tell me how you identify a high-performing team. What characteristics are you looking for?
Sure. So Gallup, and by extension, I, define a high-performing team as a team that has high employee engagement. And employee engagement is a term that gets thrown around a lot. But let's define it first with the official definition, which is a highly engaged team is a team with which employees are involved in, enthusiastic about, and committed to their work and their workplace. So, you know, we can actually measure this on a scale, which Gallup has put out there, an actual survey method. And we can see team to team within an organization or company to company, how do these companies compare to the extent of which their employees are involved in, enthusiastic about, and committed to what they do and company they do it for. And that's really critical before we move on and break it down about what that means. It's really critical because that is the difference maker, right? You know, they call it work because it's work. And it's not about who's happy or who's satisfied in their job. Although we do measure that. And by the way, when our teams are engaged, satisfaction and happiness increase dramatically, which is awesome. But that's not the place to start because there are times where work isn't fun, where we have bad days, where we have to do things that we may not like to do. And that's okay. That's part of what work is. We need to understand that first and focus less on trying to placate to our teams or trying to make everybody say, yeah, I love what I do because of the people I work with or the perks they give me, and really focus on, let's do something meaningful first where I feel personally engaged in this mission and this purpose. And it drives me to get up even through the tough stuff because we have to do tough stuff sometimes. And that will sort of cover over everything else. So we look at how involved are people, how enthusiastic are people, and how committed are people. And we try and drive those. And Gallup has identified 12 factors, and I don't know if we'll have time to go through all 12 today, but 12 factors that determine how enthusiastic and how committed and how involved people are.
I like that distinction between I love my job and I'm committed and involved, and what you said, that I'm doing something meaningful. So let's start with some of those 12 factors and share how those apply in the turf grass industry or in the green industry in general.
Sure. So at the most basic level, our needs are just understanding, right? So do I know what's expected of me at work? And I think a lot of people glaze over this and assume that everyone knows what's expected, but realistically, that's not true. In fact, only about 50% of employees clearly know what's expected of them at work. And when I share this with people, normally they say, well, how do people not know what they're supposed to do every day? Well, maybe we have an idea of what we're supposed to do, but we get confused on the order of how to do it or the importance of what we're doing. And there's not just what we're doing in terms of our roles or responsibilities, but there's also a lot of expectations around relationships or company norms. And so there's this responsibility expectation, but there's also an emotional and relational expectation. And it can be confusing. It could be showing up as, I don't know what my manager really thinks about me. I'm not sure if I'm supposed to turn this in or be proactive or go home early or stay late. All of those little uncertainties that we all face in our roles can creep in. And the more we're uncertain about, the less subconscious and psychological energy we have for what we need to be doing, which is, you know, investing in our roles and seeing that production. So that's the basic level. And then we start talking about, does everybody feel like their individual role contributes to the mission and purpose of the organization? So we go big picture with it too. And almost every team has a mission and purpose, or every organization does, right? So depending on what sector of the turf grass industry you're in, you may be, our mission is to provide great places for families to come and enjoy the outdoors, or or have family moments together. Or maybe if you're more on the supplier side of turf grass, your mission is to keep landscape contractors or people who maintain turf grass fields running and fulfilling their missions, right? And it's kind of a supportive mission. Whatever your mission and purpose is fine, so long as every person in the company says what I do every day actively contributes to that. And it should be somewhat personally important.
Absolutely. So how can we measure this engagement, this feeling of contribution from our team members with employee engagement?
Yeah. So the easiest way is with the Q12. It's a 12-question survey. And it's really affordable. You can go to Gallup and purchase it for like $15 per person and run this anonymous survey. They crunch all the numbers. They compare you overall. But even if that's not feasible, you can just ask people, right? So one of the things I always advocate for is completely free, which is if you're a manager, go have a conversation with everybody who reports to you for about an hour every single week. And that can be a lot of time, but that conversation is going to be about how they're doing in their role, how you can support them more as a manager, where they want to develop and grow. And we should come back, Julie, to growth and development as one of the 12 items in a minute. But really talking with them, and you can just sort of ask them, hey, do you know the mission and purpose of our organization and how you contribute to it? Or it may be as simple as reminding them, right? Hey, you know our mission is to make other businesses flow really well through their operations, and you do that consistently by doing this, and I appreciate that. So, you know, other Q12 items are appreciation, growth and development, and you see very quickly how these all sort of intermingle in a conversation, right?
Absolutely. So let's do go back to that growth and development element of it, because I can see that that's where our team leaders and, for instance, golf course superintendents who have larger teams, they didn't get there. They didn't become leaders without going through that process. And I know so many of them have shared that that's what they want to see in their assistants and in their team leaders and team members. So how do we support and encourage that?
Yeah. So again, it's got to be intentional and it's got to be continuous. You know, Gallup has done a lot of research around millennials, and I am a millennial myself, right? So those of us born between 1980 and 1996 have a bad rap in the workplace, but you know, we're like 50% of the workforce. And so if you're a superintendent and you've got a workforce, at least half of them are going to be millennials, or they were, except they quit, right? Because we're a problematic portion of the workforce, especially in this sector. And one of the challenges that I think turf grass industry faces is growth and development. You know, educationally, there's a lot of opportunities, but positionally in pay raise, you're relatively fixed. And if that's the case for you, you're going to have a tough time attracting and retaining labor, because especially for millennials, the number one factor when choosing a job is the growth and development opportunity. So when a millennial comes to you, or anybody comes to you really, and says, I want a promotion and I want a pay raise, instead of assuming that it's because they're entitled, I think a lot of the time it's because they're looking to grow and develop. And that's kind of the only traditional way we know, you know, is that we got a new title or we got a pay raise. And what I encourage leaders to do is let's add a lot more steps to what growth and development looks like. So instead of going from whatever the title is, general turf grass technician to assistant superintendent to superintendent, how many more positions, quote unquote positions, even if they're unofficial, right, can we put in there? Can we stratify the levels a little bit and show people, listen, it might take you 5 years to go from assistant to superintendent. But in those 5 years, here are 10 concrete steps that we'll look for you to take, right? It might be pesticide or fertilization license. It might be getting some sort of certification around water conservation. It might even be a degree from one of the big turf grass management programs out there. And all of those things can contribute towards that growth and progression. And it'd be really great if there was some financial reward along the way for earning some of those things. But at the very least, you can support and recognize them in those steps. And that alone will boost retention dramatically. So one of the things we know is that for employees who are very engaged compared to those who are not as engaged, is that we see 43% lower turnover compared. So if we want to keep people longer, we can give them growth and development opportunities, and it's going to seriously move the needle for how often we have to hire and train people.
Absolutely. So, I love this two-way street of communication between leaders and team members where, the leaders really do have to take ownership of communicating, the expectations on a very, very basic and detailed level, but also through this growth and development process and in a broader scale.
And not to interrupt, but, you may be listening to this podcast right now and saying, well, yeah, the leader should be having those conversations with me, but they're not. And if that's your situation, I don't think that you're in a hopeless situation. I would suggest that you go to your manager, whoever that is, and say, listen, I want to grow, I want to progress, if this is you, right? And here's some ways I think that I can do that. And here's where I'd like to get to, right? My idea is I'd love to be superintendent in 3 years and be making this much money. Is that feasible? Is it reasonable? Help me vet out my dream a little bit, my career planning, and have an open discussion around that. And then say, okay, now help me identify the steps. And if I'm, I've hired and managed a lot of people, very, very rarely has somebody come to me and said, Neil, here's where I want to go and here's what I want to do. But when they have, we were able to make that work. In fact, I'll share a quick story. I once hired a young gentleman who was basically fresh out of prison, dropped out of high school, was in a not great situation in life, but he had come out more or less what we might call reformed, right? This guy was looking to make a positive change in his life. He never wanted to go back to where he was, didn't have a lot of skills though, didn't have a lot of communication skills, but was hungry. He wanted to grow. And he goes, listen, I made bad decisions in my life. I got hooked up with the wrong people. I don't ever want to go back there again. Let's talk about how I can avoid that, right? How do I get health insurance? Because the way they took care of my health in prison was way better than I can afford to take care of my health now. And we started to come up with a plan. And I hired this guy. He was shoveling snow for me part-time in the winter, because that's what we did. And it was on-call, seasonal position. But we developed skills. And we paid for some of his development. But he also put in a lot of his own resources into development, getting better with technology, getting better at grammar. And eventually, over the course of about 4 or 5 years, he worked himself up to being our fleet supervisor. And this guy runs around now in nicer shirt and shoes than I wear, and runs a whole team of mechanics and does awesome. And he really bootstrapped his way there. I feel really fortunate to be a very small player in helping him get to a better life. And really, he did it on his own. I was able to buy an online course for him. I was able to spend a few hours here or there telling him about financial management lessons that I'd learned along the way. It wasn't a lot, but it was intentional. And that's the best feeling in the world when you can make something like that happen.
Definitely. Okay, so let me, in typical 2020 fashion, throw a wrench in all of this, and let's talk about how do we continue these good habits and this team development when we are working so differently. We're short-staffed. We are social distancing on the job. We have new requirements for health and safety. We're all overburdened with shifting and changing. And while we've been really resilient as an industry, I think it has taken some of the focus off of developing and nurturing our teams the way we typically would. How can we handle this in COVID times?
Yeah. So, you know, I think that we have a great opportunity to do this because we're already having some of these conversations already, right? Nobody has survived the last 6 months without saying, okay, here's what the expectations are going to look like for whatever period of future, right? We've had to have some of those conversations. So here's kind of my three-step process for really using COVID as a way to leverage this development. Number one, have more frequent expectation conversations. A lot of places of business said, okay, here's what we're going to do with COVID, and that's going to be it. But we know that the CDC and states are changing their guidelines weekly, if not faster, right? So I would say, let's have a conversation at least every 2 weeks about what the expectations are. And part of the expectations is going to be the commitment to the employee. Here's where we see ourselves as a business. Here's where we're at with funding. Here's what we believe will be normal for the next 2 to 4 weeks. And even though the information is going to change, you have our commitment to hold this little update meeting every couple weeks with you so that there's no confusion. So great opportunity to continually reinforce the expectations of people from working conditions to hours and on and on, right? Number two, this is a phenomenal time to start conversations about well-being and really build deep personal relationships. One of the Q12 items reads, I have a best friend at work. And having a best friend at work is weird language, right? Certainly any of the senior superintendents listening to this podcast are like, in my day, we didn't talk about best friends at work. And I get it, right? But we spend so much time at work and so much time with the people we work with. And the number one factor of our overall well-being as a person is not what we're doing, but who we're doing it with. And so it could feel awkward in the normal course of business to say, hey, let's talk about the relationships you have and how you feel about them. But in times of COVID, it's expected and sympathetic and a relief, right? Hey, is your family doing okay? Are you doing okay? Any issues making ends meet that I should be aware of, or any health issues where you could use time off that I can help support you with? How are your kids doing? Are they in school? Is your childcare still available? Is your spouse working? Those questions, I think, are very easy to ask now. They've kind of become the norm to ask, and it won't be perceived nearly as weird to have some of those conversations. So it's a great opportunity to leverage the situation to really start caring about the whole person when maybe before we didn't worry about it because now we're all in it together, right? And number three, I would say this is a great opportunity to start to retool and rethink about what the future or the new normal might be. We've all been through the ringer, right? No work, some work, social distance work, find a new way to do it, get by with less. This is a great opportunity for a lot of innovation. Some of the firms I've worked with and talked with are saying stuff like, you know, we used to have everybody come out of the field for a 2 o'clock meeting and everybody would spend all this time driving back, meet as a group, and then that was the end of the day, or they'd go back to the work site. And they said, now we're just calling in or doing it over Zoom, and it actually works okay. In fact, we're saving 8 hours of drive time every time we met because not everybody has to drive here, and they're more productive. So that's a great thing that we may want to keep for the future, even when we're allowed to meet in person again. We may have found that some people had to do more than they were used to, but actually they had a hidden talent in an area. We never made them do anything before. Well, let's see if that's part of their long-term career path, right? And build that growth and development. So even if we're not learning or going to conferences as much as we used to, or maybe we're doing online stuff and it's a different format, we can still have growth and developmental opportunities and conversations about the job, just around kind of what we're doing with our roles and responsibilities.
That's great advice. So Neil, as we close out now, if our leaders and team members who are listening had to just take away one most important part of employee engagement, what would that be?
So the most important thing to understand is that employee engagement really starts to click when we view work as an integral part of our life. Meaning, let's try and move away from work-life balance and really move towards work-life integration. So how can we make work integrate into our life? How can we make the mission and purpose an important part of our identity? How can we see ourselves here for a long period of time where we're growing and developing and cared for as a person and shown appreciation, and just make work a place where we want to be, just like we want to be with our friends or in our families when we're not at work?
Absolutely. Well, Neil, thank you so much for taking the time to chat with us today.
My pleasure, Julie. Thanks for having me.
For more information and links, check out our show notes. And don't miss an episode. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. You can also visit us at theturfzone.com.
You've been listening to The Turf Zone. For more episodes of The Turf Zone, visit theturfzone.com and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast app.